Just yesterday, the Canadian Armed Forces commander of military personnel, who's under investigation, has stepped aside from his role. The military confirming on Friday that Lieutenant General Stephen Whelan is facing an allegation of sexual misconduct that has been under investigation since at least June the 2nd. The CAF said that Whelan was not to be made aware of it due to possible impacts on the investigation, which is ongoing. He remained in the senior role for more than 4 months after Acting Chief of the Defense Staff, General Wayne Eyre, and Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan learned of the investigation. The Globe and Mail first reporting that news into Whelan. It's just the latest black eye for the military when it comes to sexual assault allegations. Now, these latest haven't been proven. There's another soldier charged earlier this week, but how is this going to be addressed? How is this going to impact Parliament as we set to restart here in November? Christian Luprecht is a professor in political science at the Royal Military College of Canada and Queen's University and joins us on the phone this morning. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning.
And thanks so much for joining us this morning. I guess you've seen a couple of different stories in the last few weeks, similar to what we've been seeing over the last year or two. I guess just what do you think at this point? What's your reaction when you see these stories? I'm assuming it's much like, you know, us in the newsroom.
So, in my view, what we probably need is a system where individuals from management rank upwards, that is say colonel upwards, now make self-declarations about their own past and make, to the best of their knowledge, honest declarations about whether they think any of their past behavior may pose reputational risk to the institution and can basically self-select out of positions and out of promotions as a result. Because I think what's troubling for the public is the challenge around transparency, so that the organization does not act when there's an investigation. It only seems to act once sort of we get the sunlight as the disinfectant that shines on the organization. So this is sort of Chinese water torture for the members that serve. And remember, those are the people who are most immediately affected by this, because they need to have trust, full trust and confidence in their leadership. And so every time you get one more of these sort of death by a thousand cuts kind of revelations, it is them that lose faith and confidence and trust in their own organization and their leadership. At the same time, the public needs to remember that, of course, under Canadian law, everybody is innocent until proven guilty, and that some of these allegations turn not necessarily on matters of criminal matters, but rather matters of violation of what is known as the Code of Service Discipline, to which all members in uniform are subject. And so that means there's not necessarily criminal investigations underway. Some of these investigations may simply be, and I put simply here in quotation marks, very cautiously and carefully, matters of Code of Service Discipline that can have ramifications for any member serving, but those ramifications would only perhaps in the most severe cases include release from the organization or, for instance, a demotion. They might, for instance, include reprimands, they might include financial fines, or they might include the individual being found that the allegation in and of itself, for instance, is found is unfounded. And so there's a considerable nuance in terms of the nature of the investigations underway, and so the public, we are not privy to what type of investigation, as well as to the consequences that may follow. And so the senior leadership has to make informed decisions as to, given the consequences that may follow from an allegation and the investigation underway, how serious the potential consequences are. And I think that is currently how decisions are being made as to whether somebody needs to be removed from within the chain of command or somebody can stay within their position during the investigation. And it shows that I think that is not acceptable to the public, that any nature of allegation for the public raises such troubling, is so troubling that probably anybody who ends up under investigation as a consequence of this particular latest story that's come out needs to be removed from within the chain of command. And I suspect that is probably the inference that the institution is drawing from the public reaction that we've had from this case and General Cadieux's case in the last 10 days.
And just with that idea that, you know, there should be some kind of self, you know, self-attestation about your past. Is this just because it has gotten to this point? Normally, you know, this wouldn't be an issue, but because we've had so many and we've got to this point and we have to kind of protect the military, then this might be the way to go in terms of just weeding out everyone with potential problems in the military.
So we can't just treat this as a bureaucratic problem, which I think is part of the challenge here, right? So the Canadian Armed Forces are subject to Canadian Armed Forces it is the one organization within Canada where if you're ordered into harm's way, you have to follow that order with certain provisions unless you think that order is illegal or that order is unethical. So imagine we end up in a conflict situation somewhere, in a very contentious somewhere, wherever it might be in the world. The members who serve need to have 100% trust and confidence in their leader. And the way the Canadian Armed Forces and all militaries train their leaders is that the leader owns the decisions that they make, and that is why the people under that leader will follow and serve with regards to whatever order that leader issues. So if you have somebody in a conflict situation and all of a sudden there's, for instance, a past allegation or so that comes up, you might not be able to remove that member quickly enough and replace that member with someone else because of the circumstances of the conflict that they might find themselves in. So now you have members having to serve under someone in whom they cannot have 110% trust and confidence. And that then raises serious issues for the prospect of mission effectiveness. So we've currently just looked at this within the bureaucratic sort of hierarchy chain of command within Ottawa and National Defense Headquarters and the leadership structure there. But really, this is fundamentally about mission success and mission effectiveness for an organization that might be called upon to defend Canada's interests and possibly members having to put their lives on the line. And we can only expect members to do that if and when they can have absolute and full total confidence in the integrity of their chain of command. This is what ultimately it comes down to.
And I think everybody would understand that that would be an absolute minimum. When we come to leadership as well, just on the political front, you know, Hart's attention has been on this file. And just, I'm trying to rack my head in terms of, I've seen ministers with cabinet portfolios who've been shoved aside for a lot less in terms of what's been happening within their portfolio. Again, we can't, you know, blame Harjit Sajjan specifically for the actions of military officers, the alleged actions of some and what have you. But at what point do you think the defense minister just steps aside and lets someone else try to tackle this issue?
Well, we shall see what the formation of cabinet brings, because here's an opportunity for a newly elected government to send different signals. And this is why we have elections, and this is why we live in a democracy. And it'll be interesting to see whether the Prime Minister sends a signal that there will be continuity. He has full confidence in the minister, and that he wants the minister to continue with this file, or whether the Prime Minister chooses to have a new minister in place and pursue a different trajectory on this particular file. So the government currently finds itself in a very interesting, the Crown effectively, given that we have the caretaker government after the election here, in a very interesting position. And this is certainly something that they're going to be weighing in terms of the pros and cons of continuity versus change. I think what Armed Forces members will be looking for, regardless of who the minister is the need for clear political direction on this file and a 110% commitment by the government to this file. And I think some of the frustration within the organization, and I'm sure also within the public, is that this file has really been a file that the Prime Minister's office, my sense is, would rather not deal with, precisely because it is highly political, it's explosive, and it is politically toxic for the government. And so they're trying, I think, to make it sort of go away and sort of have the minister deal with it. And to the contrary, what this file requires is the prime minister and the minister to step up with clear direction, with a clear plan. Here's how we're going to fix it. This is how we dealt with the crisis of trust after Somalia. The minister came with a 12-point plan, and he not only put in place the plan, Minister Collinette, and then subsequently Minister Young, they also put in place a ministerial monitoring committee to ensure that plan was implemented in a timely fashion and to the fullest degree. And I think this is what members are looking for. They want the government to stop dragging its feet, having yet another sort of inquiry into what needs to be done, and come with clear direction for the organization. Because I think what's clear from both the how we started the conversation and how this has all rolled out over the last 6 years is that the military cannot handle this particular file on its own. It requires political leadership, and I think the irony that we have, precisely because it requires political leadership, the political authority has stepped back from the file and has sort of said, you guys sort it out, because we don't really know what to do, so, and it's so toxic that we'll just leave it up to you. But of course, what we've learned is we can't leave it up to the military. We need the politicians to step up with a plan. We need them to own that plan, and we need them to be fully accountable to the serving members of the Canadian Armed Forces and to the Canadian public for that plan, and to communicate clearly that failure is not an option. We have a plan. We will implement this plan. We will stand by this plan, and this plan will work.
And just last word for you, Christian. Just say, do you think it's fair to say that they, at this point, you know, that the military is in a full-blown crisis?
I think we are facing a near existential crisis for this organization if the government cannot come up with a plan that restores full confidence by the serving members in their chain of command and by the Canadian public in the Canadian Armed Forces. We can see the consequences of the crisis in the recruitment numbers, for instance, that the Canadian Armed Forces has been suffering. It is the single largest employer in the country. It needs to set the gold standard when it comes to any forms of employment standards, including issues of sexual harassment, other forms of harassment, bullying, whatever it may be. And so I think here's an opportunity for the government to send a signal that what the Canadian Armed Forces are doing and how they're handling this particular challenging situation needs to send also a clear signal for the rest of Canadian society to say these types of issues need to be dealt with. They are simply unacceptable, regardless of what organization you work in. We will set the precedent in the Canadian Armed Forces, and that precedent then needs to hold for the rest of the federal government and the civil service and for the rest of Canadian society. And it is that sort of leadership that I currently am not yet seeing from the government.
And I think a lot of people are still looking for that. Christian, thanks so much for your time today. We'll leave it there. I really appreciate it. Have a great Sunday.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for the conversation. Have a good morning.
Thank you. You too. That's Christian Luprecht, Professor of Political Science at the Royal Military College of Canada and Queen's University. But it's very tough to be a man or woman in uniform right now, I'm sure, and see this news every day. You know, it's very tough on morale as someone who's serving our country. Hopefully the federal government and the Trudeau government can do something. Not a bad idea, though, just in terms of just hearing Christian say, signing off on the past, essentially, attesting to, basically, you know, I haven't sexually assaulted anybody. I know it's kind of crazy to think about, but what do you do? It just keeps coming more and more.